information about what you're saying is the nature of propensity, personal in particular. I've been thinking about this quite a bit, like with the Roe v. Wade situation and with some of the things I've been talking about with my son. You know, we exist in a time frame where many believers are now either falling prey to or sensitive to like this notion of collective guilt or a more corporate kind of guilt. And I guess in some cases, you know, we do grieve like the fact we've allowed something like abortion to exist in our country, or the people of Israel grieve the fact that idolatry rose in their midst. But is there like an insidiousness in an approach that takes away that particular and personal nature of repentance and diverts us away from understanding sin that way and misleads us? Or is there a right understanding perceived like a type of corporate guilt?
Right, so if I understand the question right, you're saying, is there an insidiousness, is there a danger in the corporate sense of guilt and repentance? You didn't use that word, but...
Right, when it's being, you know, I think in particular with, like, my son dealing with, like, anti-racist types of things, and
right.
Even, you know, whole church is sort of falling into this notion that...
Sure.
Without me necessarily personally committing right. sin against someone because of some structure or some characteristic...
Right. I think there's levels of grief too. I mean, when we see any injustice or like say racism, other things taking place, that there's nothing wrong with grieving, especially if we're associated with a group of people, whether it's a church or a nation or a region, a state or something like that. But when it comes to repentance, I do think there can be a danger of something corporate. That's so much easier, right? Anything programmatic is easier from my investing myself individually. But ultimately, repentance is a highly individual thing. Now, Israel as a nation state had to repent and suffer the consequences of even one sin, like, say, Achan. We're not a nation state like Israel. It's nothing like that. But we do suffer as a corporate body, as a church. And so there's times when we can rightly feel grieved for those things, but ultimately, I think in terms of these lessons, I think you're right. We need to really think acutely of my sin. I think it's easier to confess a corporate, in unison, a corporate, you know, confession of sin about general categories and things. But a confession of sin at some point needs to press me to the wall, needs to back me to the corner, quite specifically. I'm thinking like Ten Commandment types of things. And so my concern would be, especially having a regular dose of just say these generalities, as we were saying, when there needs to be, especially on a daily basis, where I'm coming before God myself and owning my sin. And that's where I would be really concerned that I think especially we teach our children this, you know, this habit as a family, teaching them how individually to go into their prayer closet, as it were, and are candid with their God and bring their desires to Him, good and bad, and thank Him for those good ones that He's fanning in the flame, but confess those bad ones that you want to put to death, and asking for the help of His Spirit and His grace to do this thing that Christ promised to do in every Christian. Maybe one quick one. Oh, up here? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Whose trivia team are you actually?
If I say, I may have to repent. I'm on Captain America's team back there. It's got to be quick.
Okay, thinking about this idolatry in terms of desire, there's another dimension that we recognize as idolatry that involves images. Making inappropriate images. Are these like united in one sin, or are we kind of splitting the sin of idolatry into two, where it's like there's the image side and then there's the inordinate or inappropriate desire side? Or are they really more united than that? I'm not sure if that question makes sense.
Is idolatry and idol making?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if you were to, for example, get a storybook Bible that had an image of Christ, which is, you know, what our confession would say is idolatry, that doesn't seem to be an out of bounds or out of balance desire, so to speak, as much as like an irreverence or something like that. But I'm trying to understand if there's like a unity to that, or if like we're just looking at one facet of what idolatry means.
Yeah, that's a good question. We should take it up afterwards. But I'm going on the hike, so if you want the question, you have to come with me on the hike. Or later. That's a good question. I like the question. But I think it's multi-layered. And I'm being sincere. Search me out, okay? And I'm sincere about the hike, too. But we have to sing. We can't get to the hike. 180? Am I? Who's leading this? 180, please. Kind and merciful God. 180. Please stand.